I'll pause for a moment to let the deacons get relocated. They're not very fast, are they? Well, a very simple question for you this morning. What color are polar bears? White? Wrong. I admit that polar bears appear to be white, but in fact, what often appears to be the case is in fact not what really is. You see, in the 1970s, researchers were trying to count the Arctic wildlife, and they were amazed to discover that polar bears didn't show up on infrared photographs. They were also shocked to find out that polar bears didn't show up on ultraviolet photographs either, even though things that are white are supposed to reflect rather than absorb ultraviolet light. It was not until the late 70s that somebody solved the mystery. A scientist took a polar bear hair and put it under an electronic microscope and discovered that each tiny polar bear hair is a tiny fiber optic tube, clear and without pigment. Each tiny polar bear hair has been designed to capture light and convey warmth to the body of the polar bear. And in fact, this system is so efficient that a polar bear's outer temperature is almost exactly that of the surrounding temperature, which is why they don't show up on infrared photographs. Polar bears appear to be white, but in fact, each polar bear hair is clear, clear as glass, and without pigment. What appears to be true is not the case. Let me approach that from an entirely different direction. Since I can't play golf these days, I lustfully watch the golfers out in these beautiful, warm places, and I read about golfers. And I've been reading a book by Hank Haney, who was the longtime teacher, perhaps the greatest golfer ever, Tiger Woods. But even though Haney spent 100, 150 days a year with Tiger Woods, he professed to be shocked when Tiger's image as an upstanding family man turned out to be a facade. And yet upon reflection, Haney realized he couldn't be too surprised. And he made this observation. Though he possessed the most powerful swing in golfing history, though his bank account overflows with millions, though he has won the adulation and respect world over, though he is seemingly blessed with every single material possession and blessing, in Haney's experience of Tiger, he was never happy. He was never happy. Here is someone who enjoyed every material blessing, enjoyed every form of popularity, every form of prosperity, and by all outward appearances would have to be happy. But in reality, at his core, he was empty. I want to suggest to you there is a common link between the polar bear and this empty-souled golfer. And the link is both were the product and love of a cosmic designer. A cosmic designer fashioned each polar bear hair so that it is a tiny fiber optic tube to capture heat and convey warmth. God took great care in designing even a polar bear. And in fact, God endowed each polar bear with an extraordinary homing instinct. So you can capture a polar bear, take it hundreds of miles away, but when you release it, it will be able to traverse hundreds of trackless, icy, featureless miles back to its home. Polar bears don't get lost. God endowed and designed the polar bear to survive and thrive in the most inhospitable of environments. Likewise, as the psalmist says, the cosmic designer took great care in designing us. Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. Thou beheld even my unformed substance, and my days are an expression of your very thought, O God. And as long as I am alive, I am aware of you. In every moment I live, I am aware of your presence. In powerful, poetic form, the psalmist describes God's loving care in designing each one of us, in knitting together our inward parts. In other words, God has designed our souls to be fiber optic tubes that receive the warmth of God's love and convey it in a nurturing way to the whole of our being. Our lives reflect the handiwork of a cosmic designer. We're made for God, made by God. But unlike the polar bear, our souls only function as they are designed if we consciously ask them to acknowledge God's light, if we consciously command them to convey God's warmth in a nurturing way, if we live in ignorance of our cosmic designer, if we don't acknowledge how our souls are built, then we can enjoy every material blessing on earth, but be empty of soul. We're about to engage in a little ceremony with a few pieces of bread, some cups of juice. And on the surface, this bread and these cups of juice would appear pretty ordinary. They'd be ordinary if you stuck them under an electron microscope. However, when you view these little pieces of bread and these little cups of juice with eyes of faith, you see something that the world cannot detect. These pieces of bread and these cups of juice convey divine love, and they confer divine grace. The world might think they're just ordinary pieces of bread and little cups of juice,
But with eyes of faith, we understand that appearances are deceiving. These are, in fact, signs, tokens of a cosmic designer who sustains us and nurtures us from before we're born and during our lives to the end of our lives and then beyond. You heard the scripture that Jeff read. We are designed to eat, and so we become hungry. We are designed to drink, and so we become thirsty. We are designed to commune with our cosmic designer who has fashioned our souls to receive divine love and feed on divine warmth. This supper conveys to us that in every moment we're to live aware of God's presence. In every moment we are sustained, nurtured, and nourished by a divine friend. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks for that bread, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I invite you in this moment to partake of the Lord's table. I remind you, it's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone, everyone, who would claim this Christ as Savior and Lord, who would open their souls to the warmth that he provides, you are invited to partake. As you've heard in the scriptures, our Lord, trying to convey to his disciples the meaning of the violence, was about to transpire, took the simple element of bread and he broke it. And he said to his friends, "What happens to this bread happens to me. I will be broken for you." But even in the shadow of the image of that violence, our Lord gave thanks. Let us do the same. Lord, we are indeed grateful that you have designed our souls to receive your warmth, that you might convey to our being the very nurture and nature of life, that you might fill us with your love and direct us through your purpose. May we truly open our being to your presence and acknowledge you as our designer and live in full awareness of your sustenance. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.